The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. G'day, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. We're off to Tanzania today, or Tanzania, depending on which part of town you come from, with Moab Minerals. ASX code is an easy one to remember, MOM. Last traded at 0.5 cents, or half a cent, for a market cap of, would you believe, 3.56 million. Now, that market cap is particularly interesting because the company has just completed a transformational deal in the uranium space over there in Tanzania. And to bring us up to speed on what they've acquired and what the forward plan is, and obviously against the backdrop of super strong uranium prices, we have the managing director with us today, Mal Day. G'day, Mal. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Barry. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Now, I've mentioned this likely transformational deal. So what have you acquired in Tanzania?
So what we've actually done is we've signed up a deal to acquire, coming by the name of Lynx Resources. Well, most of the shares are Lynx Resources. That in turn owns a UK-based subsidiary company, and that owns 80% of a company called Katika Resources, which is a local Tanzanian company. And that owns two uranium projects, one which is very advanced, which is the Manyoni project, and another one, the Octobo project, which is not as advanced. So those are the two projects the company owns.
Now let's start with the most advanced of the pair, Manyoni, which I believe is 5 kilometres from a namesake town. So I'm just wondering, does that town provide you good infrastructure to get on the ground over there?
Yes, it does, Barry. I went, myself and Jeff Balf, our consultant geologist, we travelled in January to Tanzania. Pretty easy trip, actually, through Dubai, flew into Dar es Salaam on the coast, a short flight to Dodoma, the capital, and then from there we jumped in four-wheel drives. We drove out on a almost fairly new sealed highway, and there's a relatively new railway running adjacent to it as well. The railway actually runs from Manyoni all the way down to Dar, which is fantastic. But it's the actual Manyoni project is two separate PLs, and they're located about 5 kilometres north of the town of Manyoni. And Manyoni, again, in a great sealed highway, relatively near railway, power, gas, water, and having all the infrastructure so close to a project is a very powerful. So.
Apparently, it's adjacent to a known deposit formerly held by an ASX company, Manta Resources, which people remember got taken over for $1 billion back in 2011 by the Russians, the Nyota project. And Manyoni itself was explored quite extensively by another ASX company that people might remember between 2005 and 2009 called Uranex. So it actually has a JORC 2004, not 2012, a JORC 2004 resource on it. What's the scale of that resource?
We'll just go back a couple of steps, Barry, just to clarify it. So the Manyoni project is a fair way north of the Octobo project. It's the Octobo project, which is adjacent to Rosatom's Nyota deposit, which was sold in 2011. So Manyoni project by itself, but that was the resource was discovered or was actually explored by Uranex, like you said, 2005 to 2009. Essentially, 2011 was, you know, you draw a line in the sand then. That's when the Fukushima incident happened. We had the nuclear fallout in Japan, and as a result, worldwide, many uranium pre-producers and explorers basically threw in the towel, and because the price of uranium plummeted. And that's essentially what happened with their Manyoni uranium project. So Uranex, they discovered a resource. In actual fact, it was published in on 30th of June 2010. It was done by Hellman and Schofield, and they produced an MRE of 20.5 million pounds of uranium at a grade of 147 ppm. So one of our first jobs, obviously, is to convert that resource to a JORC 2012 compliant resource. So we're off to a great start. And the fact that we, with Manioti, there's an existing resource there, makes it a lot easier for us.
Okay. And just to clarify there, confused myself. Mal mentioned, I confused the Rosatom Niota deposit, which was Mantra, but now we're talking about Mayoni, which was explored by Euronex. What's the style of the deposit?
The
Mayoni.
Okay. Well, that's at surface, which is great, and goes through a couple of different formations, but most of the deposit is from ground through to 10 metres. And our drilling program, which we're coming up, is going to go down to a maximum of 25 metres just to explore some of the sandstone below it, and we're quite lucky in the fact that it's so close to surface.
The grade is low as far as uranium deposits go, but I guess that shallow nature of the mineralization and the flat-lying nature of the ore body is likely to assist in its development credentials.
Well, that's right, and of course, you know, price uranium is in the high 80s at the moment, so you know, most projects from an exploration perspective. Last year, everyone's always known that it was around 50 to 60 bucks US a pound to get explorers back on the ground, get the drill bit turning, and to get the producers who have closed up shop to start producing again. And so the fact that uranium, I mean, it's been as high as 106 in January, currently in the high 80s, the greater, we don't think, is an issue at this stage. In saying that, again, one of our very first priority is to do some work to convert that existing resource, that 20.5 million pounds, 147 ppm, into a JORC 2012 resource. That's going to involve some confirmatory drilling. Not sure exactly how many holes yet. And secondly, some bulk sampling, more metallurgical testing, etc. Then, of course, we need to increase the size of the resource, and probably next year we'll start a PFS. And it's the PFS that will identify whether or not it's economic and technically feasible.
From your standpoint, you see there is potential for an increase in the resource eventually?
Yes. And look, you know, again, when I was on site back in January this year with Jeff Balfe, our consulting geologist, we took Chubb over, who was one of the vendors, who was also a geologist. And we had two local geologists with us. So we had four local geologists all walking with a scintillometer. Having that existing resource there, that's a great start. And, you know, unfortunately, still got to do a fair bit of work to confirm that we're going to be able to mine it eventually. But, you know, again, with the price of uranium where it is today, it's looking very positive.
So you mentioned a upcoming drilling program. You've got a rough idea when that might start, and I guess you'll be reporting results as they come to hand?
Yeah, look, we're aiming to start June and July. So we're just going through the planning phases at the moment. So we're doing two things. Firstly, we're about to start doing some baseline water testing just to measure radiation levels, etc., just to ensure that post-drilling, then we have to do further water testing and compare the two. And then secondly, we need to run an ad in the local newspaper, which we're in the process of doing, inviting tenders. It's important that we have a local content plan, this part of it, just to allow local companies to be able to tender for drilling work as well. But it's a fairly easy process and fairly easy to get guys on the ground. It's dry there at the moment. When I was here in January, we were walking through black mud. In fact, I actually left my boots in the shower for that reason. I didn't bring back to Perth. But it's dry over there now. It's perfect for drilling. So we've got a really good window between now and that, I think, November, to get in there and drill. And it's not a huge campaign. Again, it's confirmatory holes. In other words, twinning of existing holes which we can actually see when we're out there. And then secondly, the additional drilling to define, or should I say, to measure the extent of the continued mineralization.
Now, you mentioned considerations around local content, but I was just wondering more broadly, perhaps, what is the attitude or support level for uranium developments in the country?
Our initial conversation with everybody, very positive, they're very proactive for mining, and they're very keen on uranium. So it's all quite positive. I mean, whilst we were there in January, we went to the Geological Survey Department, and you know, they welcomed us there. I think they're very keen to get things moving in Tanzania, and that's why it's so supportive of mining at the moment and exploration. So it bodes well. And look, you know, on a good note, I mean, it's Tanzania's one of the lower sovereign risk countries in Africa. And secondly, most, you know, they speak Swahili, but most Tanzanians speak English, which makes it far easier to do business there.
That's obviously the flagship of the projects in the country, but you do have Octavo. That's the one that's adjacent to Rosatom deposit. Tell us what the story is there.
Yes, so the Rosatom deposit in Niota, that was previously explored prior to 2011 by ASX's Mantra Resources. Great timing on their behalf. That was Ian Middlemas, chair company, who I know. Again, they managed to sell it just before Fukushima, or should I say signed up just before Fukushima, and settled the transaction not long thereafter. It kept what well, kind of really, because not long thereafter that, price of uranium obviously crashed. But anyway, that has a resource of 152 million pounds of uranium at a grade of 286 ppm. I'm not too sure where it's at in relation to the surface or not. It's on the boundary. Well, it was actually contained within the Salunu Game Reserve, and that area of land being excised out. And the Octavo project also is partly contained within the reserve as well. But we don't see too many issues when we've been able to get in there and explore it. I have read that the Russians actually own this Niota deposit, that Rosatom's a Russian company, and they're looking to try and start mining all this year. Hopefully that happens from a mining perspective at least, which bodes well. But look, what we do have is we have some radiometrics, some old surveys, which demonstrates that it appears from radiometrics that mineralization continues on this northeasterly trend from the Niota deposit through the Octavo deposit. Now, obviously, we need to get on the ground and do some ground truthing before we can make any claims as to mineralization. But it looks very positive. The geologists are really excited about it.
Lots of work to do there, obviously. I was just wondering what the company's cash position is to get on the ground there and get things moving.
I think our current cash position's around $2.5 million. In addition to that, we've got a investment over at Gala, a lithium investment, which, you know, with now that within Africa, we are rather focused on the uranium projects. We're probably looking to sell that investment in the lithium project in Gala. Our entry price for that was about $1.5 million. So at some stage, we'll catch on to that. We've also got 11 million shares in European Lithium, which on today's price, I think, values at 600,000 or 700,000 or thereabouts. And some stage we'll catch it. And well, we've got enough cash to take us through our first round of drilling, being the conservatory drill hold and the resource extension drill holds. So, you know, next year, we're probably going to do some more drilling, obviously. And then when we start a PFS, we'd have to raise some capital then. But for now, we have enough cash to get us through the next stage.
And there's always more funds to be had based on, you know, promising exploration results, which you'll presumably be out to achieve this year. But I'm just wondering, given we've got a hot uranium market, you mentioned there the price got over $100 there earlier in the year, US a pound, and back around 88 US a pound at the moment, and everyone predicting nothing but strength in the price going forward. I was just wondering what your personal take on the uranium market outlook is.
Well, I think to go back a few steps, I've been following for a few years because there have been another project in Colorado, which is uranium and vanadium focus. But obviously, in a couple of years back when Eric Sprott set up the SPUT, which is the acronym for the Sprott Physical Uranium Trust, he identified an opportunity worldwide, which was to start consolidating worldwide distribution or wholesale supply of the uranium. So he's been buying up all that physical uranium, and that was probably the main catalyst for, you know, the price increase over the last couple of years. I mean, if you go back a few steps, August 21, the price of uranium was $28 US a pound, and that's now $88-$89 a pound now. And it's gone up significantly, you know, since probably the middle of last year, hence all the excitement. So look, you know, if it stays at these current levels in the high 80s, and there's going to be a lot of happy explorers and happy producers and I suppose happy investors. Who knows what it's going to do after this. I'm happy if it stays at these levels or something between these levels and the 106 it achieved in January.
You touched on it just there. The company obviously has some other interests. Do we need to be updating those, or is it very much going to be full focus on the uranium asset in Africa?
But we are still marching forward with our REX project in Colorado, the uranium and vanadium project. We're just waiting on some drilling permits. Getting drilling permits in the US, particularly Colorado, dealing with the BLM, it's not as easy as it sounds. It's certainly not as easy as it appears on the whiteboard, so to speak. It's far easier in Tanzania. So, you know, the market always wants news. And, you know, also from my perspective and the board's perspective and investors' perspective, we want things happening. We want to happen fast. And look, I think this Manyoni project has so much potential that the quicker we can get the drill bit spinning there on the ground, the better. So that's going to be our main focus, particularly over the next 6 months.
So REX will be on the back burner for a little while, pending the approvals for the drilling program.
That's right.
So let's bring it all together, Mel, and give investors a feel for what signpost milestones they can look out for as the rest of the year unfolds.
Okay, so the first significant milestone will be the completion. So, you know, we still have two conditions precedent, which need to be satisfied prior to completion. The first is shareholder approval. We had our notice of meeting ticked off by ASX. It's just going through ASIC. We expect that by the end of this week, within the next week. So at this stage, we expect to hold the shareholder meeting end of May, early June. I'm the major shareholder. Of course, I'm voting for it through. So that I assume would just be a formality. Condition precedent to be satisfied for completion is we require FCC, which is Fair Competition Council, approval within Tanzania. That's the equivalent of the ACCC or Anti-Competitive Behaviour government body here in Australia. And look, we had half a dozen uranium projects and mines. They'll never be of concern to us, but of course we don't. There's no chance for Socratic monopoly. So our advice from our lawyers, Bowmans, who we use in country, is that we shouldn't have any issues with FCC approval. So we'd expect to be settling the transaction probably in July. But in the background, we've already, as I said earlier on, we've already got away the water testing and the planning for the costings, et cetera, for the drilling program. And we're just about to start issuing all the tenders out so that you know, there could be a situation when we start drilling before we actually settle, right? If not, it'll be, you know, on or about the same time. So my point is, we're not waiting to resettle before we start moving forward to drill. Or be back in charge.
Strong news flow towards the back half of the year.
That's right. So, and then look, we're not too sure exactly at the moment because we still have to do it, go through this tendering process. We think it's probably around a 3 month drill program. And then, of course, we need to get the assays. So, later this calendar year, we'd expect all the assay results and metallurgicals off the back end. And then, you know, we need to then do this conversion calculation, converting the current historic resource to a 2012 to JORC compliant resource.
Okay. Might end up with a bit of a Dorothy XML, the $3.56 million market cap at the moment. And yeah, and it comes with a resource, you have other interest and liquid assets. And just what do you make of the market cap?
Very cheap at the moment. And I understand why to some degree. I mean, look, you know, the first catalyst for any sort of share price increases, we actually have to settle the transaction or complete the transaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, it's all about levels of risk and what levels of risk investors are prepared to take. That de-risks the actual transaction for a start. And then, of course, we've got to get in there and do the drilling, prove up its resource, and then get into a PFS next year. Each one of those stages de-risks the project and the company to various degrees.
Very true. Okay. All right, Mel, very interesting story. Here we go, folks, a $3.5 million market cap with a potentially transformational uranium project in Africa, Tanzania, with plenty of re-rating and de-risking events before the year's out, potentially. So with that, Mel, thanks for your time today. Good luck with it all. We'll be watching with interest.
Great. Good on you, Barry. Thanks for that.
Cheers.